It's Tuesday, the day we read from your emails. A week ago, we broadcast from Fort Dix in New Jersey, where we talked with soldiers about the future of the National Guard and Reserves and about the strain of the long wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Stuart Feldman is an emergency medicine physician and an Army reservist from Illinois who emailed us to say, "I've been proud to serve with the armed forces and feel privileged to have treated so many soldiers in their time of need. However, my service and the service of all reservists and Guard members comes at a high price, and the price is often paid by the families at home. The prospect of having to continually return to the fight is a burden that is hard to bear. It interrupts my civilian career, has caused a tremendous financial hardship for me and my family, and causes a tremendous amount of stress as we wait for the next call to serve. I am proud to have served, but today the reserves are not called on occasionally for special missions. It's assumed that you will be deployed regularly. That's not what I signed up for and not how I wanted to define the rest of my professional life." 2 weeks ago, we talked with the author of a new book that tells the stories of adults confronting their own teenage angst through notes, love letters, and diary entries from the past. If you've ever gone through old notes from high school, you might relate to the title. It's called Mortified. Gabrielle Warner, a listener in Grand Rapids, Michigan, added a twist. Years ago, she wrote, "When I was 15 or so, I was hanging out with a female friend who was going on and on about how much she loved this guy. I was a writer of poetry, so she asked me to write a poem for him. So I wrote a poem in red ink and drew tear dots all over the page and dated it, but she signed it and gave it to him. 15 years later, I'm married and have two kids. My husband and I are going through old stuff, and I come upon a big manila envelope. I pull these things out and start looking through them and find a poem written in red ink with teardrops all over the page, signed by another girl. I'm like, 'Where did you get this?' He says, 'An old girlfriend. Her name was Karen.' I was so confused for a little bit. Then I told him I had written this poem for Karen to give to her boyfriend. Who knew I would later marry the guy?" A new study last week showed that when young doctors work long shifts without sleep, they're much more likely to make mistakes. On Wednesday, we talked with doctors and patients about physicians and fatigue. Heather Hammerstedt is an MD from Boston who knows all about being tired. "I'm a third-year emergency medicine resident," she wrote, "and I just moments ago was waiting outside the hospital for someone in my car listening to your broadcast and fell asleep. No offense to the host content or to the guests, just residency at work again." And finally, we ended last week with some hints on surviving this year's holiday party. As it happened, Lynn Neary hosted that show while I was homesick. Several guests showed up, and of course a number of callers joined in, and Bruce, a listener in St. Louis, could not help but observe, "See what happens when the host gets sick? The replacement has a party. Hope she cleans up afterwards." Well, I'm happy to report that Lynn left my desk cleaner than she found it, and I will only add a word of advice to you all. Go out and get a flu shot. If you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email. The address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name.